Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to fellowship this morning. Lord, we ask that your presence, your power, your life, your glory will come upon us mightily, and it will lift us to the next level, next levels of intimacy, next levels of empowerment, next levels of impact by your Spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Help us this morning and take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. By the way, you look great, colorful, and powerful. Amazing. Glory to God. Is there a timer? So I know what. Let's set it so that we have come to draw. Draw from you again. We have come to draw from you again. We have come to draw from you again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, I was trying to get the timing. Glory to God. Let's get to Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. I want to share with us this morning on a topic I titled The Way of the Patriarchs. Glory to God. The Way of the Patriarchs. That's what I want to share on this morning. Very short. And I trust that the Lord will use it to open our eyes and also to inspire us to greater achievements with God. It said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And he said, ye shall find rest for thy souls, but you say you will not walk therein. And so this scripture is giving us a contrast between two kinds of believers. There are the believers that are walking in rest, and there are the believers that are frustrated, having no results in their lives. And he said there is one thing that separates these two believers. The believer that finds rest, the believer that is making impact, walking in dominion, from the believer that is frustrated, grumbling and struggling, one thing separates them. He said, it is access to the ancient paths. When you understand what was, you will know what is, and you will know what is to come. But the challenge we have oftentimes as believers is that we want to cut corners, turn away from what is, what was, and create our own path. The Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, He said the end of that way is death. And so when you find many believers struggling, it's because they have departed from the ancient paths. And in Proverbs 22 verse 28, the Bible gives us an idea what that path is. You know, sometimes you would want to ascend to the third heavens to find out the mind of God. But you see, it's not all the time you need to get to heaven in order to know what God is doing. There are many who have walked with God, and their walk with God becomes a testimony that when you access what they have accessed, you will also command the results they have commanded. And so in Proverbs 22:28, it says, remove not the landmarks, the ancient landmarks, which the fathers have set. The men that have walked with God, the men that have accessed the paths of God. He said, the patterns that they have set. He said, don't despise it. Don't remove it. If you find it, walk therein. And you will command the same result they commanded. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1, the Bible showed us that these men did not just find a way in God. It said God himself certified them, approved them, and God himself recommends them. It said now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he went further to tell us, he said, by it the elders obtained a good report. So God has already scored them, and he marked their records with him to be good. Therefore, they become not just a standard, but also a recommendation for anyone who wants to walk the way of God. In Romans chapter 15 verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, it said they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So the fathers found something in God. God himself approved of them, recommends them for us to follow. And the Bible said, for as many as follow that path, he said, they will find rest for their souls. You know, when Paul was talking in Romans chapter 4 verse 1, he said, what did our father Abraham according to the flesh found? Because this man explored God until they caught dimensions in God. And so the dimensions they have caught in God have become our advantage. But every time we struggle, our struggle is an alarm system that we are neglecting something. He said, neglect not, despise not, remove not the ancient landmarks that the fathers have set. And so this morning, I want to show us some of the things the fathers caught in God, and why we must pattern our lives after these dimensions in order to have an impactful life that even the heavens will acknowledge and our existence will become worthwhile. And so I've highlighted seven of the elders and the things they've done in God. And I will show you how that the paths they found in God, even Jesus, who is our pattern man, walked in them. Because the thing with scripture is that anything you find an elder walking in God, in the spirit, is a dimension in Christ. Because Christ is the totality of the expression of God to the human race. In the dispensation of grace, we know Christ in the flesh. But Christ has always been, even before the dispensation of grace. John was speaking in John chapter 1 from verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning. He said, in the beginning was the word. Christ came in human form. Everything they caught in God, Christ himself walked in them. And so if you walk in these things, you will not just be like Christ, but you will command dimensions and impact that your generation cannot despise your existence. And on the strength of that, you will advance the kingdom of God. So let's look at some of the fathers and see the ways, the orders, the dimensions that they caught in God. Because the difference between the fathers and the many people that existed in the different generations is that the people who existed in the generations, they knew the acts of God. But the fathers knew the ways of God. He said the children of Israel knew the acts of God. They saw miracles, they saw signs and wonders. He said, but Moses knew the ways of God. So it's the ways that they caught that we want to study and look into this morning. And the first of the fathers I look at this morning is Abel. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 4. We are going to be doing most of our readings from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Because that's the book that chronicled the records of the elders. It said, by faith. And you'll see that all of these dimensions are trapped in faith. To show you that it's actually a walk with God. It's trust in God. It's not an independent and isolated reality. It said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It said, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And he said, God testifying of his gift, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So there are three things we saw in the life of Abel. Number one, Abel was the one that first revealed to us that the way you impress a spirit is not primarily by talking, but by sacrifice. You cannot interact with a spirit. You cannot please a spirit except as you navigate the paths of sacrifice. And if you study not just the spirit of God, every spirit there is, their love language is sacrifice. If you don't understand the way of sacrifice, you cannot impress a spirit, you cannot be used of a spirit, and you cannot be relevant as far as that spirit is concerned. But this is the problem of many Christians and leaders in particular. When we are walking with God, because we have not been thoroughly discipled, we think walking with God is about meeting our personal needs, pleasing our desires. And so we think it is wisdom to come to use God. Not knowing that when we choose the path of sacrifice, then God picks us out and turns us to an example. And the way God makes an example of you is that he manifests his dimensions through you. So your life becomes an expression of the faithfulness of God. Your life becomes an expression of the power of God. Your life becomes an expression of the glory of God. And people cannot tell why anything you do prospers. People cannot tell why others are going down, you are rising. They are coming to God every day and all their cry is, God, do this, God, do that. But there is another man who has found a secret in God. Every time he shows up, or every time he has an opportunity, he puts a sacrifice on the altar. And as he keeps sacrificing, you would think you become smaller. But the more he sacrifices, the bigger he becomes. And you are wondering, what is the mystery behind it? Because God cannot give you beyond what you can give him. I'm telling you this. Listen, God's blessings are not conditional. But accessing those blessings are conditional. He said he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. So everything that pertains to life, every one of us already have them. But how many have accessed it? If your heart is selfish, there is a dimension you can't receive. If your heart is small, there's a dimension you can't receive. All this life of me and my family, you will discover that what God has prepared for you may be for the nations of the world. But your heart is too small to receive something that can bless the nations. Because every time you come to God, you are only thinking about yourself. So the way God increases your bandwidth to receive his dimension is by the gateway of sacrifice. Every time you sacrifice, you empty yourself to be filled. Just walk with God. That was what Abel found. The reason Jesus became the sacrificial lamb was because Abel opened the gate of sacrifice. So every time you speak about sacrifice in the kingdom, you are actually opening the dimensions of Abel. Every time anything happens to you by sacrifice, you are revealing the possibilities of God that is trapped in Abel. So Abel, she brought the alabaster box and broke it upon him. Somebody stood up and said, no, would have given this to the poor, whereas he had no desire for the poor. So you see people who are self-centered, they are talking, you think they are interested in the kingdom, they are not. They have the language, but their heart is far away from God. That's why the Bible says, where a man's treasure is, it says that is where his heart is. Why do you think many leaders are not effective? Because they don't know sacrifice. Do you know what it means to wake up every day and pray for a city where you are? Do you know what it means to wake up every day when others are resting? You come back from work, you go out for soul winning. When they come, they just want to rest. They just want to relax. And the Bible says a little sleeping, a little folding of hand. It says poverty will come against you like an armed man. And it's not only poverty. Even God will run away from you if you don't have sacrifice in your quivers. And so whatever you commit to them will never prosper, because they are too selfish and self-centered. And the danger is that you will not only be small on earth, even in eternity you will not have relevance. The Bible said when Abel did this, it said God bore witness of his gift, because God sees our sacrifices. The sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of energy, the sacrifice of resources, they will never go unforgotten. He said God will always bear witness. Every time you give time, you give energy, you give resources, God sees it. It is the way of Abel. This is how the elders became immortals. And when God wanted to speak about men, he began with everyone. Does it not surprise you that they didn't begin with Adam? This is the chronicle of men as far as God's textbook is concerned. He didn't begin with Adam. Adam was the first man. But all Adam was doing was eating apples in the garden. He was only receiving from God. He was only enjoying God's benevolence. And when God wanted to write about men, God forgot Adam. God didn't mention Adam. He didn't mention Cain. He went and mentioned Abel. Because that was the first man that touched the heart of God. He said, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So in the kingdom, it's not who came first. It's who sacrificed first and who sacrificed better. That's how the kingdom works. And this is why you can see that even in the fellowship today, the person you want to Christ can become a bigger leader. See, don't kill yourself with envy. You will die. If somebody is doing well, check the sacrifice and the foundation. You can win somebody to Christ. You can disciple that person. That person can become a regional pastor. That person can be empowered in the economy. That person can be empowered in government. It's because God can trust him. God has seen his heart. Everything he has is on the altar of sacrifice. And when God finds such people, he pumps more grace. He releases more authority. He releases more power. Because that is how you impress a spirit. You don't impress a spirit by how you dress. You impress a spirit by your level of sacrifice. Every time there's selfishness and self-centeredness, you resist the spirit. And that's why even our dressing today, God frowns at it, because it is born out of selfishness. I see mama most time hitting and correcting and shaping people who want to dress naked and showcase them. They don't know that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. They want to use it to generate unnecessary attention. And they don't know that that's a holy temple, because they still don't know the way of sacrifice. So at the foundation of human infirmity is selfishness and self-centeredness. And so when a man chooses the path of sacrifice, he has found a way of immortality. When a man chooses the way of sacrifice, he has found a way of approval with God. When a man chooses the way of sacrifice, he has found a way of honor and glory with God. These are the signs that God picks out in people. And so everybody making impact, I can assure you, it's not luck. Everybody you see making impact, there is something they know and they are engaging. And you can write this down if you want. One of those things is sacrifice. If you make sacrifice your way of life, there's no way this world will not know that you came. And there's no way God himself will not recognize your walk on the face of the earth. He said, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Do you see that when God compels men, it's on the basis of their sacrifice? You will never see God say, this is this, this is that. He said, but Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So the reason God can pick one leader and exalt that leader above another person is because of their sacrifices. And three primary sacrifices is what? Time, energy, and resources. It's a serious act of faith. If you want God to lift you, for you to become relevant, these three things must be on the altar of God perpetually. Number two, my time is limited, so I'll just touch very briefly on all of these things as God helps us with deeper understanding. Hebrews 11 verse 5. By faith, he said, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He said, and was not found because God had translated him. He said, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. You read that in the book of Genesis, chapter 5. And you hear what the Bible said. It said, Enoch walked with God and was not. It said, for God took him. So the second thing we learn from the fathers, and these are the heavy molecules of life. Unfortunately, many don't know these things. So people spend time on things that don't make them mighty. People spend time on things that don't make them great. So you can imagine that somebody spends his life, almost half of his life, watching movies. Somebody spends almost half of his or her life making friends. Friends that she sits down with and gossips and talks irrelevant things. Somebody wastes half of his or her life decorating his or her body. And then at the end of the day, 2-3 people admire and like. There's nothing wrong in looking excellent. I'm not looking too bad myself. But this is not what life is about. You must know what to spend life, your life on, so that you are relevant with God, with men, and with your nation. And these are some of the things the Bible is revealing to us. It said, Enoch walked with God and was not. It said, for God took him. So the second thing that the fathers found is what I call the way of intimacy. That spirits are interested in men, they are pay attention to them. Spirits are interested in men that prioritize them. And so when a man wants to be great by the power of a spirit, that man must pay attention to that spirit. You see why herbalists are in the forest? It's a sign of attentiveness. And why they are yet there? Most of them don't have addresses. They don't have billboards anywhere, but people look for them into the heart of the forest. Because when a man pays attention to a spirit, he must become indispensable. It is not by being around that you are important. You become relevant by the dimensions of a spirit that is conferred upon you. But you see, spirits will not confer their dimensions on you except as they know you pay attention to them. Hear what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41 from verse 28. See, these spirits are deliberate. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Help me quickly. Let me show you some things. You will see the mysteries of life. He said, have you not known? He said, have you not heard that the everlasting God fainted not? Even the creator of the ends of the earth fainted not, nor is weary. He said, his understanding is unsearchable. Go to the next verse. He said, he giveth power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increaseth strength. You read this scripture and quote it. It's not for everybody. Read down. You will see the people he gives power to. In verse 30, he said, even the youth is now giving you a contrast. He has shown you already that God does not faint. He has shown you already that God cannot be weary. Then he showed you a second thing, that there are a group of people that he increases their strength and he gives power to. And he's trying to now show you in verse 30 why you must be part of the group that he empowers. He said, just in case you think if I'm a youth or you think if I'm a man, I have some advantages. He's showing you the futility of natural advantages. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Do you see the three contrasts here? He said, number one, God does not faint. God is not weary. Number two, he said, there are a group of people that God empowers and increases strength. And he said, number three, you must insist to be part of those groups in case you think your natural advantage is an advantage. He said, the youth is the best of men. Because the strength, the glory of the youth is his strength. So he said, even the youth shall faint. And the young man that thinks he's strong, he said, he shall utterly fall. But here is the balance. He said, they that wait upon the Lord. He said, they mount up with wings like the eagles. He said, when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. So the group of people that God empowers, the group of people that God increases strength, are those that wait upon the Lord. And he said, when they wait upon the Lord, he doesn't just increase them to a level. If you notice verse 28 and verse 31, the parameters are the same. God does not grow weary. God does not faint. He said, those that wait upon the Lord, they too will not grow weary. They too will not faint. So God imparts unto them the same excellency that he represents. So a point comes when you see these people, they are exactly like the God that they worship. That's the level of honor. That's the level of glory God imparts on them. But for that to happen, they must pay attention to God. They must wait upon the Lord. They must prioritize God. So it was Enoch that showed us this. That for a man to become like God, to operate like God, he must prioritize intimacy. No wonder the Bible said, because he walked with God, he said God took him. Because a point came that Enoch became so much like God that this dimension could no longer keep him. You know why the plane flies? It's the law of aerodynamics. When you operate at a certain speed, you can't stay on earth. If you remain on ground, you will explode. So when the plane hits an acceleration, the pilot has to engage the law of lift. Because if that plane does not fly, it will scatter. So there was a dimension of intimacy Enoch got into, that he became so much like God that it would be impossible for him to walk among men. So God had to take him out of the realms of men. But the secret is in walking with God. But see our generation. Even the man who says he's a leader, the man who says he's a pastor, he doesn't have time for God. Even when he's going for fellowship, he stands up 5 minutes and says, Father, thank you for today. Lord, I know your mercy. I know you will help us. He carries one verse of scripture. He's running. Yes, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And he gets there. And then he comes and says nothing. And God is looking at him. Do you know the spirit you are dealing with? Do you know the honor that has been conferred upon you? Do you know what it means to stand to represent me? I give you the right. You know what it means? See, we are natural men. That's our problem. And he said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Tell a man, go and represent a governor. He will sew a new dress. Go and represent a governor. He will tell all his friends. Go and represent a governor. He will come with a sense of pride. He will take time to prepare the speech. Even what the governor did not say, he will say. And when he is done, he will want the whole world to see it. Because as far as he's concerned, levels have changed. Now we represent governor. And then the God of heaven calls you to represent him. You don't have time to prepare physically or spiritually. You run into that place. You think that the glory of the fellowship is in the 10 people. Your audience are not men, it's God. But many don't know. So when they are going to fellowship, they say, no, it's a house fellowship. They are just 7 of us. Who told you there are 7 of you? Do you know who you are representing? The moment you stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, your audience have changed. But men don't know what it means. Enoch taught us that one of the greatest things a man should do is to pay attention to God, is to walk with God, is to give time to God, is to stay with God. There is something he does to you. He changes your versions. He upgrades you. And he doesn't just upgrade you to your best. He upgrades you to his realm. Because I can assure you that as touching God's plan, your best is not good enough. So God does not upgrade you to your best. He upgrades you to his realm. That's why Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, be a follower of me.
I am a follower of Christ. John was speaking. In 1 John 4:17, he said, as it is, so are we in this world. All of these apostles knew this. And the reason they knew this is because they found it in the life of Enoch.
that Enoch taught us, that if a man walks with God, the first thing God does is that God makes that man become experientially like himself. And when a man becomes like God, he can operate like God. So the power is no longer a prayer point. The favor is no longer a prayer point. The wisdom is no longer a prayer point. The glory is no longer a prayer point. Because as he is, so are you. So everything God operates in, you begin to operate in it naturally. How can your fellowship be small? How can you remain 10? How can you remain 20? If Jesus was handling that fellowship, are they going to be 10?
If you are translated and transfigured, then the same result Jesus will command, those same results will begin to command. That's why Jesus speaking in John 14:12, he said, they that believe in me, he said, the works that I do, they shall do also. He said, and greater works shall ye do. But why are we struggling? Because we are not waiting. Why are we struggling? We are not walking with God. This thing is not about memorizing 2-3 scriptures and quoting. It's about walking with God. So that when you come, God comes. When you leave, God leaves. When you are there, God is there. You become an embodiment of God, like an ambassador of heaven. You bring God's presence to people. This is what the elders knew. So you will find this man. Two men can walk into a city. Give them that time. That city will turn upside down. One man can enter a city. Give him time. Because they know what they carry. The Bible says Philip went to Samaria. He said he preached Christ there. He said the whole city was full of joy. One man took a city. In our generation today, one church has 30 branches in one city. They are still not conquering that city. You know why? Because we are professional preachers. We have people who go to the office and call themselves Christians, but they can't represent God. And the problem is not that God is not available. The problem is that men are not working with God. We are working with our handsets. We are working with our friends. We are working with our certificates. We are working with our credentials. We are working with our family. Only God is the one lacking and missing in all of our work. If you will walk with God, you'll be amazed. This version of you is not what the world is looking for. But the more you walk with it, it says we all with unveiled faces. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. It says we are metamorphosed. The way you see an egg become a butterfly. That's how your life will change completely. There's no way an egg can fly. But when metamorphosis takes place, an egg can begin to fly. You who is rolling on the floor, hoping for somebody to carry you, you have the wings that can appear. But it depends on how much you walk with God. And then you will discover that you are not just an egg that anybody can step on. You too have wings to fly. Because there is a dimension locked up on your inside that will take intimacy to appear. So when we speak this thing, we are telling you the secrets of relevance. We are telling you the secrets of the elders. Check their lives. The Bible speaks about Abraham. Every city Abraham enters, he builds an altar. If Abraham is living, the tent can leave. The altar will remain there. Many years later, his son was passing. It was on that altar he had an encounter. Because Abraham never removes his altar. If he comes back, the altar is what tells him that this is Bethel. The presence of God dwells here. That's how they walked. Look at Moses. Every day, he went to the top of the mountain. Every day, Moses was on the mountain. A point came, Moses literally became like a god. That's the same thing Jesus did. Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, in the cool of the day, he went to a solitary place. There he prayed. Matthew 17:2. After 8 days, he took his disciples to the mountain again. And as he was praying, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. So when he comes down, he operates as a god. Because of intimacy. And the same thing applied to the apostles. We will not give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6:4. All of them knew this one secret. And so the way the elders work is that the one that came before you, the dimension he caught, you will collect it, add to your own, and start walking. So you will notice that Enoch too was a man of sacrifice because he learned it from Abel. Abraham that came after Enoch was a man of sacrifice and he was also a man of intimacy.
So you see Abraham always sacrificing, and you see Abraham always talking to God. Then Abraham caught his own dimension. That's how this man walked. That's how this man walked. And if you walk like that today, you will be too relevant. See, it is a challenge for a Christian to be called and encouraged. Don't be that leader that they have to call you and they are telling you, don't worry, the fellowship will grow. Don't worry, it is well. No, that's not your level of life. You are not that leader that they are calling, okay, we will send support. Okay, we will send somebody to come. No, go and lock yourself. Lock yourself, my sister. Lock yourself every day, 2 hours, 3 hours, for 6 months. See what will happen to the fellowship. Nobody will tell you. There is a power that brings men. The men will come on their own accord. Lock yourself. They have seen your hairdo. They have seen your fingernails. They have seen your eyelashes. What they have not seen is the glory that is on the inside. We all with open faces, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord. We are metamorphosed. We are metamorphosed. Paul said, henceforth, no we no man after the flesh. As you are sitting like this, a governor can come for your meeting. As you are sitting like this, the whole city can come for your meeting. Imagine the people Jesus picked. They were fishermen. In a world where fishermen had no place. They didn't have the best of language. When they spoke, everybody knew that these men are not schooled. That means they were having speech mannerisms when they talked. Accent poor, speech power weak. But you couldn't deny the power they carried. You have the advantages of intelligence, excellence, gadgets, but the spirit is lacking. You can't be in one fellowship for 8 months, 2 years, and you are 25. Even you, the fellowship itself, you are going there now because people know that you are a leader. If you had your way, you would have escaped. Meanwhile, that is escape from destiny. Because you don't know the honor God gave you. He said, no man taketh this honor upon himself, as it was with Aaron and his son. That's the honor that was put upon you. And so when God looks at you, he's looking at you like Deborah. The same way he trusted Deborah, and Deborah delivered the nation. If God looks at you, he's looking at you like an Esther. The same way he depended on her and she saved Israel. That's how God is seeing you. You are the Deborah of your generation. You are the Esther of your generation. And if they succeeded, you cannot give an excuse in eternity. He said, see what Esther said. I know I'm a queen. I know I'm beautiful. But there's something beyond regalia. He said, go and fast for 3 days. Me and my maidens too, we will fast. When she entered, where she was standing, the king called her. She had not said anything. Esther 5 verse 2 and 3. The king said, whatever you want, I will give you. At least wait for her to ask. The king couldn't wait. He said, even if it's half of my kingdom, I will give you. That's the power that you generate when you stay with God. When you stay with God and you come to people, it's like a space on your life. They cannot but love you. They cannot but submit to you. They cannot but follow you. So if you are not productive, there's something wrong with your journey of intimacy. That's why, as a leader, I don't take mundane excuses. Hey, where I am, it's difficult to contact people. You are joking. If another man goes there, you will see the difference. There's no glory on your life. That's your problem. And you can't see the main problem. Ah, where I am, there's no money. Come to where there's money. You are renting hall in the north for 1 year, 800,000, 1 million. Come to Abuja. Go to Lagos and rent hall 1 month for 10 million. And then you will know that money is not your problem. Glory is the issue. Because every territory has its peculiarities. And the good news is that every one of us has it in unending measure. It's intimacy that brings it out. He said, of its fullness have we all received grace heaped upon grace. Nobody received more than the other. We are just manifesting at different levels because of our intimacy. Enoch walked with God and was not. You know your problem? You are. So when they see you, it's you they see. Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. When you start walking with God, you will be not. What they will see is God. But the problem is that it's you they are seeing. because you are not walking with God. And so every leader must pay the price of intimacy. Start it routinely. Every day, give 2 hours. You may not pray in tongues throughout. Just stay in God's presence. Read the word of God. Pray there. Sleep there. Fast there. And just do it. Give yourself a few months. You'll be shocked. Even the wisdom you'll be communicating, you will know this thing is not because I read a book. You will know you have tapped into something. And suddenly, the land will begin to respond to you. This is how we take over. Are you following? It's called the way of the patriarchs. When you study these men, you will find something that stood out. And every one of them imparted their generation. Imagine the level of authority this man had. God wants to write his own scripture. He uses their life as scripture. So God is writing the Bible. You know, the Bible is a compendium of the biography of different men. Imagine how people are so relevant. They didn't just impart their generation. God compiled a book of his purpose, and their biographies is what forms those books. Relevance. Relevance. Imagine the whole Acts of the Apostles is the life of Paul, the journey of Paul, from verse 9 to the end. Some books are even named after men. You are hearing Jeremiah. What do you mean? I thought you said it's the book of God. How can a man have a chapter in the book of God? Because some men are eternally relevant. You can't relax. Else your lifetime would have been a waste. Number 3, Noah. Hebrews 11:6. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. What stood out in the life of Noah is fear for God. These are the secrets of eternal relevance. Our generation have no fear for God. Keep money with a leader, he will spend it. When you ask that person, the person is now running helter-skelter to look for money to borrow and come and pay. The money they gave you is different from the one you borrowed to pay. The one they gave you is not money. It's the sweat of people. The one they gave you is not money. It's the faith of people. Because part of that money, somebody is looking for the fruit of the womb. So that 2,000 she put on the altar is not 2,000. It's faith for fruit of the womb. Somebody's family is being ravaged with debt. She put 4,000 on the altar. That's not 4,000. That's life. It's a testimony of trust in God. They gather it together and give you 35,000. You are counting it in form of human currency. That's not 35,000. That's fruit of the womb. That's escape from debt. That's promotion. That's lifting. That's breaking of curses. They give you because we don't have the fear of God. You will carry the offering and say, there's no food in the house, and spend it. Better die of hunger with your children so that you go to heaven. You spend it. When they now need the money, you say, I beg, who? You borrow 35,000 and return it. There's no fear of God. A leader is lying blatantly. You stand on the altar, you say, how many are you? She say, we are 50. They are 5. Because she thinks this place is an elevated platform. She can't see the glory of God. She can't see the authority of God. She can't see the influence of God. And she lying. And the way the Holy Ghost works, the moment you lie, he will tell you instantly. But they will still shut the Holy Ghost down. They won't repent. Because that's how men are. No fear for God. And because there's no fear for God, there's no authority. Because fear for God is also the way God sees honor to his name. And in 1 Samuel 2:30, it says, him that honors me, I will honor. It says, him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. So the authority you need to confront the challenges of life was the authority you gave up when you dishonored God. And so you go back later. You are fasting for 40 days to address an issue. Nothing is happening. Because you don't believe in what you are doing. If you believe, the proof is that you will fear God. If you know God is so powerful that when you call upon Him, your enemies will die. The devil will be cast away. Your challenges will end. Will you relate with that God, the God that you think is that powerful? So your honor for God, your reverence for God, is a testimony of your measure of God. At least you know the extent of power your boss has. That's why you relate with him with that respect. How many of you have been offended at your bosses before? And you tell him to the face. How many of you have gone late to work before? You are working with Zenith Bank. You are working with Access Bank. Or you are working in the government house. And then you wake up. They say time for office is 7:30. You come by 9. You say, sorry. Even if it's raining, you know you will be there. But because you don't fear God, you trivialize God. Most of us here, we are working on a job. If they say go to Zamfara, the next day you report in Zamfara. If they say go to Maiduguri, the next day you go there. If they say go to Congo, you go there. But when God say go to your neighbor's house, you say I'm tired. You don't complain at your job. You don't complain with your boss. But when it comes to God, then your humanity comes. Complacency comes. This is why our generation have no authority. The Bible says when God spoke, He said Noah moved with fear. It was not convenient, but there was reverence. And so the way you obey God and the way you relate with God is the key to your authority. Some, even when they are praying, you will see high level irreverence. In fact, if you keep God and their bosses enjoy more honor and reverence than the one they call their God. Because they think all of this is religion. And then now they are trusting God for His power. They are trusting God for His influence. And the truth is that because they don't honor God, God knows they don't believe in what they are asking for. They are just doing it as a religious routine. The moment a man truly honors God, it will show. The seven spirits of God works in a man's life when that man is rooted in the fear of God. In Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1 to 3, see what the Bible said about Jesus Christ. It said, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And it said, upon him is the spirit of the Lord. Number one, upon him is the spirit of wisdom. Number two, the spirit of understanding. Number three, the spirit of counsel. Number four, the spirit of might. Number five, the spirit of knowledge, number six, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, number seven. Seven spirits of God. But you now go to verse 3. He summarizes all of them as one. He says, he delight in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. The KJV said, he shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. So if you don't have the fear of the Lord, the spirit of counsel will not work. The spirit of might will not work. The spirit of knowledge will not work. Every other dimension of the spirit will shut down. This is the problem many believers have. They don't have fear for God. And the Bible revealed to us that what Noah pioneered is called the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because of that, even when his whole generation was condemned, only Noah was called righteous. So God gave up the whole world and kept Noah. That's the level of importance that Noah had in the eyes of God. Imagine, take a look at Abuja alone. That God can choose one man over Abuja. Is that not in itself strange to hear? But God chose one man and his family as against a whole generation. So that man, as far as God was concerned, was more important to God than the whole world. One man. And what did that man have? Fear for God. So you want to be relevant with God, you must pray and ask him to teach you the fear of the Lord. You want to find out how one Christian can be more relevant than the other Christian. It's not the position they have in church. It's a measure of fear for God that they have in their heart. God can give up a whole generation and a whole world for one man. Because that man fears God. It's called the way of the patriarchs. When you study the lives of these men, you will learn things that will change your life forever. You can become more important to God than a whole state. You can become more important to God than a whole nation because you fear God. This is why you come into a city, you find 2-3 people operating in that city as if they are gods, whereas there are a million other people. Do you know how many women fellowship are in Nigeria? They are numerous. Why do you stand out? You think it's because you have the best message here? You think because you pray the most? No. You preach good message, you pray well, but there is something at the foundation of what you are doing here. There is fear for God. That's why you keep rising and rising. Somebody else thinks it's about strategy. Do all the strategy in the world. It will shock you how you will have it. In fact, there are places where you come, they literally pamper and massage you, but nobody goes there. Here you come, they use chisel, they use hacksaw, and they are cutting different things, but you are still coming because there is a power. And that power is rooted in the fear of the Lord. If you know this, even your business will shift. Because anything you do, God will exalt it. If you know this, anything you oversee will move. Because God knows the people he should exalt, those that fear him. That's why he commits all judgment to those who fear him. You know what it means to be a judge in the realm of God? It means you have absolute authority, and whatever you say, God endorses it. That was what, Gabriel manifested when he came to Zacharias. He spoke to Zacharias, and Zacharias doubted him. He said, I speak to you, you doubt me. He didn't consult God. He said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. He said, from now you'll be dumb. And the man went dumb until the time that he said. So such men have authority. Whatever they say is law. And the reason God will give you that level of authority is because you fear him. Too many Christians don't fear God. We lie, we exaggerate, we do things at our own pace. Even when we are talking to God, we talk to him casually as if he's one house boy we are addressing. And when he doesn't answer on time, we quarrel him and we threaten him. The day you see him, you will fall like a dead man. It's your ignorance that makes you operate like that. When you become knowledgeable, you will know that the one you are talking to is a king. And it's not just a king, he's a king eternal. And blessed is a man who discerns it and fears God. Your life will just be going up. People will wonder how. They will hate you, you will be going up. They will envy you, you will be going up. They will fight you, you will be going up. Others will be going down, you will be going up. And they will be wondering, what is going on? You are just fearing God. You are just honoring God. You are just serving God. And your life becomes a mystery. They will sit down, talk about you, hope that you will fall. The more they are hoping, the more you are rising. Somebody will catch the fear of God from here, and it will become the answer to all your prayers. Sometimes maybe you should sit with the woman of God. Let her tell you her battles. In different phases. There are those who predict when you will fall. They will say, well, from what we are seeing here, 3 years, 4 years, they will go down. 10 years have passed, you are still soaring strong. 15 years, you are soaring strong. They are now wondering what's going on. Sometimes they gang up against you. The more they fight, they now discover all things are working together for your good. And they can't explain. And these things can apply to your family. It can apply to your business. You start a business, everybody say, leave her, she will go down. You are rising. Because there's an invincible finger that begins to lift you that nobody can explain. Even you cannot explain it. All you are doing is you are just loving and fearing God. And I decree this morning, that is your portion. Noah. The fear of the Lord. Abraham. Number 4, Hebrews 11, verse 7, 8, and 17. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. Next verse. He said, by faith, he sojourned in the promised land as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the promise. Go to verse 17.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that he received as the promise, he offered him up, even his only begotten son. Now, what did Abraham find? Abraham found something. Abraham found that the key to preservation is to trust God. So the Bible said, even what God promised him, after God kept it, when God asked of it back, he said, Abraham, give it back to God. Abraham was a very seasoned businessman. He was already rearing cattle. So he knew the principles of business, the principles of investment, the principles of marketing. He knew all of them. But Abraham was brought into a new class. That what consolidates all that he was doing and he knew in the flesh was his ability to trust in God. And so Abraham began to learn something new. That even in business, if you want to be preserved, trust God. In family, if you want to be preserved, trust God. Because the way God did it was that the one thing that he didn't have, God told him, the key to having it is to trust me. I know you have tried everything you know. Until he became old and impotent, Sarah was literally barren. Nothing was coming. When he got to that point where it was sure that no human effort could bring it to pass, that was when he relied on God. But you see, the reason you study Abraham's life is so that you don't need to come to an end of yourself before you trust God. It took Abraham 25 years to rely on God. Because at this point, he was impotent. Sarah was barren. So even if he tries, it will be a waste. That was when Abraham began to rely on God. But if you now understand the principle, you don't need to wait for 25 years. Any aspect of your life where you want preservation, the first thing to do, because you learn from Abraham, is to say, Father, thank you for my experience in business, but I submit this business to you. Father, thank you for all I learned from Bible school. I submit this fellowship to you. Thank you, Father, for all the healthy food I eat, for the rest, for the exercise, but my health is in your hands. As you begin to deliberately submit every aspect of your life to God, you will now notice a fruitfulness that is beyond human comprehension. So Abraham taught us that in this life, to please God and to be preserved, you must trust him. Can I assure you, very few people trust God. I know we say it as a cliche. When you find somebody boasting, listen for some time, he will call somebody's name. Do you know who I am? I will call the governor. I will call the senator. I will call the permanent secretary. So their confidence is in men. It's a woe unto the man that puts his trust in the arm of flesh. You know what it means? That man is already cursed. Because there are many things that will come against you that will no longer be met. I think it's because you stand before a police officer. That's why you are saying you will call senator. By the time you stand before a principality, you will know that there's no senator that can litigate against him. Meanwhile, your greatest battles on earth is not with policemen. It's not with your neighbors. It's with principalities and powers. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But see the problem with Christians. They don't train their faith. They don't train their trust. They don't train their walk with God. It is when they are overtaken, they are now learning to do what they would have mastered. So the way God designed the system is that he teaches you from his word, and he uses everyday circumstances as your class to train you. And so when you wake up in the morning, even the things you can do, don't do them without God. I know you can stand up from the bed and just walk. But when you wake up, thank you, Father, for the grace to live a good and a healthy life today. Thank you, Father, for today is a successful day before you come down from your bed. Because if you don't do that, the day principality visits, you'll be shocked that it was not your leg carrying you, it was the grace of God. But many will not trust God for those things until attack comes. And when attack comes, they will now discover they don't know how to trust God. They don't trust God with their finances. They don't trust God with their health. They don't trust God with what is committed to their hands.
they are doing everything with their intellect. You call somebody, say, go and preach. And before going to preach, he has this subtle, you know, audacity that is eloquent. Or she's eloquent. And then he says, no, when I go there, they will hear something. You are joking. There's no eloquence that transforms men. It's the conviction of the Holy Ghost that transforms men. When you finish speaking your eloquence, some people will look at you and say, wow, this boy is intelligent. Well done. And they walk away. Ah, this girl knows the Bible. Some will even walk to you and say, that was good preaching. And they will go. But the Bible says when Peter spoke, it said their hearts was pricked. That one is not eloquent. It was the Holy Ghost convicting them. And 3,000 was added to the church. It's a secret that the fathers knew. It's a secret that the patriarchs knew. And the Bible committed it to us as an inheritance. Please hear me. If you want to be mighty, begin to train yourself to trust God in the little things. Even in your children, lay hands on them and say, Father, I know by your word I'm disciplining these ones. I'm teaching them what to do. But I trust you that these ones will become mighty. Because you'll be shocked that some children that came out of the best homes are the most wayward people today. You'll be shocked that some children that have everything that they could ever desire in life are the ones that became the problem of society. Meanwhile, the ones that looked as if they didn't have future, the ones that looked as if they didn't have tomorrow, they are the ones ruling today. From a good education to good parenting, those ones, suddenly you discover God will encounter them and their lives will change. They become the one mentoring the children of the people that lived in the best of homes. Because one thing the devil will do is that he will use your ability against you. Hope you know the madman of Gadara was the one cutting himself. He picked stones and was cutting himself. And one of the ways the devil uses your ability against you is that he will make you trust in your ability. So you will no longer include God in your life. Have you not seen many sisters who think they are so beautiful? They thought that men will die. Men will kill themselves for them. Men will beg them. In fact, even their friends are intimidated by their beauty. When all of them became 25, all their ugly friends are married. They, which are the most beautiful queen, are now trusting God for husband. So life will humble you. But if you don't want life to humble you, trust God early. And as you trust God, God now will show his strength in your life. And that's what God did for Abraham. Abraham, that was impotent and his wife barren, suddenly he was the one God told that he will be the father of kings and the father of nations. How can a barren man with an impotent wife be the father of nations? Listen, as you leave this meeting this morning, trusting God, everything in your life that is stagnated, you will receive answers. From your health to your marital establishment to your children, everything will receive answers. You know the beautiful thing about God? There is such a thing called restoration. Maybe 10 years ago, you didn't know better. So you trusted in your beauty. You trusted in your eloquence. You trusted in your intelligence. Now that you know, it's not too late. Because God can revert time. And God can give you speed. I declare this morning, every dimension of restoration required for you to be established, receive it now. It's not your fault that you were ignorant. You didn't know better. But now you know. And as you begin to trust God, even the ones you have lost receive sevenfold return. There's such a thing called the help of God. Sit down. The help of God has three dimensions. There is intervention, there is restoration, and there's preservation. Intervention works when you are in crisis. God can show up and pull you out. Restoration works when you are already defeated. God can come back, create a situation that gives you an advantage. And the way God does it is that he will cause that season to repeat. That's why the Bible said he will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten, the caterpillar worm. So the season that you failed, maybe you met, God planned for you to meet a senator or a president or a governor to give you an advantage somewhere. But when you met that senator, you didn't know the way of humility. You were arrogant and you missed your chance. 4 years have passed. And it looks like that window is over. When God wants to restore, he will create that season again. And this time around, you don't have an appointment. You went to visit somebody and the senator will meet you there. Another senator with greater influence. But now you have learned your lesson. Just by greeting that person respectfully, what you lost, God will not just give you back, but every benefit that should have been accrued in 4 years will come to you in one day. I speak over somebody. Restoration comes to you this morning. I'm sensing God is doing something to help people to regain wasted years. God is doing something to help people to regain the things they lost on account of error and ignorance. And I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, as you walk out of this meeting, your life changes forever. The areas that you failed, you will go back and pass those exams. And the benefits you should have enjoyed, you will receive all of them in multiplied folds. In the mighty name of Jesus. None of you here is weak. None of you here is small. None of you here is defeated. You just needed secrets. And as you receive these secrets now, even before you start applying them, the glory that comes with them will begin to beam out of you. And I decree that those dimensions will open doors. It will bring you to higher levels of authority. It will cause you to enter into seasons and into possibilities of lifting. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is telling me now that He's anointing somebody with fresh oil. Because He wants to exalt your horn. You have tried your best. You have labored. You have wept. But nothing is working. God is saying now He wants to show Himself as the mighty man of war in your life. And He said He's going to exalt your horn like the horn of the unicorn. Because He's about to give you influence. In that same territory where they laughed at you, you are about to be glorified. In that same region where they wrote you off, you are about to be glorified. Because as you receive this word this morning, you are already making decisions. I will respect, I will honor, I will fear God. And the Lord has heard your heart. And so by the power of the endless life, arise, shine. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. Arise, shine. The glory of the Lord rest upon you this morning. You will return as a more than a conqueror. You will return as a champion. You will return as a city taker. You will return as a territory taker by the power of the Holy Ghost. It says Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there, and the city was full of joy. I decree over someone, as you walk out of this meeting, the capacity to take a city, it rests upon you now. It rests upon you now. Listen to this. The woman at the well met Jesus. She was never discipled. She was never trained. In fact, she had married 5 men. The one she was staying with now, she was living in adultery with him. But her encounter with Jesus changed the story. In one day, a woman that was seen as a harlot became a national evangelist. Only her took the city. I prophesy over you. Every reproach your life carried until now, as you walk out of this meeting, they are wiped off in the name of Jesus. And every dimension that was written concerning you before the foundations of the world, you begin to experience them from this meeting. Who knows? Who would have known? That woman had the capacity to take a city. Do you know what her life looked like? That means that woman was helpless. That means they took advantage of that woman. Every man felt, this is where I can come for a season. So any man who is frustrated comes to her, lies to her, use her and go away. So they were literally using her. The story of that woman reveals to you the wickedness of men. This one we use and go and tell the friend and say, if you go back there, you can. And this one will come, spend few months and go. Another will come until the real man came. When Jesus saw her, Jesus said, they that believe. He said, they that believe. They that believe. He said, from them shall become a spring of many wells. Jesus told her, I am that Messiah. Today, the encounter to change your life. The encounter to stop you from being used. The encounter to make you a global phenomenon. It comes to you now by the power of the Holy Ghost.
My God. There's an anointing here for lifting. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? There is an anointing here for lifting. There are seven of you that the hand of God will come upon now. And God will shift you. Not just to a family level deliverer. God will shift you to become national voices. International influences. Father, wherever they are standing this morning, you said you have come to visit. You have come to bring a visitation. Some are suffering from depression. Some are suffering from shame. Some are suffering from hopelessness. Some are suffering from the wickedness of men. But there is an anointing that lives, just like the woman at the well that left that place from being a woman used of men to become a woman that directs men to God. In the name of Jesus, I release that anointing now. 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 Arise, shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine. I release that anointing now. My God. My God. There is a fire stirring. There's a fire. I hear people praying in the Holy Ghost and prophesying because the hand of God comes upon them. Mighty warriors. Mighty warriors, priestesses of the altar, in the order of Deborah, in the order of Esther, in the order of Sarah, in the name of Jesus, I call forth your dimension. I call forth your dimension. I awaken your dimension. I awaken your dimension. Come up hither. Come up hither. The lionesses of Africa, the lionesses of Zion. Marakapta, Fekarusta, Aragado, Sabagaya, Azazina, Mantakabar, Ragosh Taka, Ragadira Zazonsta, Mantakaba, Rosta, Varakaya, Azoso, Zavanida, Ragabonda, Jakate. Come up, Hida. Said there was none feeble among their tribes. There was none feeble among their tribe. Everything that breaks you, everything that makes you feeble, everything that weakens you, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I break them now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just lift your hands toward heaven.
Every family crisis that is hindering you from fulfilling your call, from the concerns of children, from the concerns of money, to the concerns of husband related issues, to health challenges, by the power of the Holy Ghost, there is a family intervention now. Father, everyone here cry to you. Andara, Barata, Fedagasco, Areno, Rakira, Parakaya, Palanda, Sabataka, Rajiano, Patakisco, Atete, Patarina, I write a new commandment. Let there be peace. Peace be still. Peace be still. Receive intervention now. Receive intervention now. In the mighty name of Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations. You are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.